The lifespan of the American people has increased tremendously over the last 40 or 50 years. One of the reasons for that is that we have the opportunity and the ability now to be able to go in once a year, once every other year, and have an assessment and have the opportunity to be revealed to us if we're having problems and there's medications and things that we have. And so we do this because we want to be healthy. I hope to keep my teeth until the day I die. I'm sure many of you think the same way. Some have already lost them. Because in order to keep healthy, we have to try to stay on top of things. Now, the reason I open up with this is because I want to talk a little bit about our spiritual health. How do we know if God sees us as spiritually healthy or whether God sees us as terminally ill or perhaps disabled to a point where we can no longer truly serve the Lord? And so just as we have created tests to determine our physical health, God has put things into the scriptures for us to assess to determine how healthy we are in the spiritual realm. And I have three different lessons on this because there's three different avenues in which God gives us the ability to test ourselves. And so in this lesson, we want to look at the things in the scriptures that we are told to do that will help us to see whether or not we are healthy or not. And so we look at the Lord's Supper. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, test himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Do you do this every first day of the week? Do we actually examine ourselves? Do we put ourselves through the test? There's certain things that God expects of us during this time. Obviously, he expects us to be forgiven. Now, most of the time, the person who leads the first prayer will ask God to forgive, and so we can have that part. But we can't always count on that. So before we enter this church building, we need to make an assessment. Am I spiritually alive at this moment? Because when we commit a sin, the soul that sins will die. And until we repent, God doesn't see us in the same light. And it's very difficult for God to accept our worship when we've committed a sin and we have not repented of it. And we are still living in it. And so that's one of the ways that we examine ourselves. But I don't think that's necessarily what Paul is speaking of here. When he says an unworthy manner, that means that there is a proper way for you and I to feel and to think when we take the Lord's Supper. And we need to know what that is. And we need to be certain that that's what we do. Because each first day of the week is going to require, before we eat and before we drink, that we do a self-examination. Look again at verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and thusly, or in this manner, or so, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So I think this examination is an integral part of the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because God doesn't want us. He's going to tell us here in just a few moments, if we don't do this, we're weak, we're sick, or we're asleep or dead. So the manner in which we take the Lord's Supper is one of the most important ways for us to check our spiritual health. If we have emotion, if we are riveted, if we are grateful, if we are sorry, If we can remember what Jesus did, who he is, what he is, what he did, what he accomplished, we're healthy. But sometimes, as the world starts to creep in, this sacrifice becomes uncomfortable. And that's telling us something. And so, what exactly are we looking for? And the first two, I think, are ancillary. They're just kind of on the side. I think we do, again, need to be forgiven and prepared. And I think that we need to be certain that no one has aught against us and that we need to get that taken care of. But the real element here is in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The manner that we remember him tells him how healthy we are. If we are grateful, if we are sorrowful that it had to happen, if we are in awe that the one who was involved in the material creation came into the creation to bring us salvation, we're in good health, at least in this aspect of our lives. We are very healthy. But if we see our thinking becoming more mechanical, becoming more just reading it out of the scriptures and thinking about it on a surface level, no emotion, no understanding, no appreciation, no worthiness. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. When I preach on this overseas, I use the illustration of a funeral. And a funeral has two components. It has the component of those who are relatives and close friends who are grieving, they're crying, they are in agony, they're remembering all of the wonderful things about that person. And then there's just the group of people who have come to show their respects. They don't really know the person. Their loss is not going to impact them. It's not their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, their friend. It's just someone that they knew. And there's a very different manner that they approach the funeral than those other people. And I think that's a fairly good way to look at this. If we love Jesus, if we respect him, if we appreciate what he did, then our emotions are going to be there. If we don't know him, or we've forgotten him, or his sacrifice is not meaning that much to us, then that's telling us something about our relationship with him. And so, if you take it in an unworthy manner, number one, you're guilty of the body and blood. What does that mean to you? What does it mean that I would be guilty of the body and blood? Now, I know the Jews were guilty. They even told Pilate, his blood be upon us and on our children. They were guilty of the body and blood. What about us? Well, it's obviously not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. But then in verse 29, he says, he who drinks, eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment, or more literally, condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now that tells me something. If I'm not afraid to have my mind wandering during the Lord's Supper, I'm not healthy. If I'm deeply concerned about doing this in an unworthy manner and I'm thinking about it the entire time, I'm spiritually healthy. Because if we don't do that, we are self-condemned. For this reason, many. Now notice that. For this reason. What reason? You're not taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. You're not examining yourself. You are taking it in an unworthy manner. And because of that, some of you are spiritually weak, spiritually sick, and many sleep. What a terrible indictment of the church in Corinth that many are spiritually asleep. They're coming, but they're not worshiping in spirit and truth. They are failing a critical test and manifesting to God a sickness and a weakness and maybe even spiritual death. So, it's very important. Now, and then there's also a daily assessment. I like to read the Bible every morning, and I like to pray after I read the Bible, and during those moments, I have an opportunity to assess myself. Obviously, if we're going to begin our prayer hallowing God's name, and then beginning to ask Him, forgive me of my sins as I have forgiven those who have sinned against me, I have to do an assessment there. First of all, I have to remember what sins I've committed and ask for forgiveness. Secondly, I have to think about my relationship with other Christians and whether I've forgiven them or not. Because the Lord will forgive me as I forgive them. So I have two assessments here. First of all, did I repent of all my sins yesterday? Is there anything I need to be asking for forgiveness? And then secondly, is there anything about other people that I refuse to forgive? So, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound, which is the Greek word hygiene, sound doctrine. There's a healthy doctrine, there's an unhealthy doctrine. So as we're reading the scriptures, we're hearing sound doctrine, and we are comparing our life. We're comparing our life to the scriptures. It's a mirror. And if we're doing that, we're healthy. If we're not doing that, then here's what can happen. Verse 4, you can turn away your ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We see enough of that in the scriptures to be afraid of it. We see all the children of Israel witnessing the 10 plagues, witnessing the Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, God speaking, witnessing the various things that happened in the wilderness, and only two of them enter the Promised Land. What happened to the rest? They were weak. They were sick. And they didn't see it. Now, that same problem happened before or with Noah and the flood. That same problem happened with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And that same problem is happening today as we watch our own nation descending into those same qualities. So we need to be assessing. We need to be reading our scriptures daily. Just like the doctor says, be sure you drink enough water, be sure you eat your vegetables, be sure you, and they give you a litany of things. God says, be sure you eat healthy food, be sure you eat healthy doctrine. And every scripture every doctrine in the scripture is a healthy doctrine. So how are we doing? I mean, if we were to give it a self-examination, I'm going to give you a piece of paper now, and you're going to have to hand this to God on the judgment day, because obviously you can say whatever you want to me and I won't know. But this is going to go before God on the judgment day. Are you healthy? Have you passed these two tests? Or do we need to do a real self-assessment and make some serious changes? Because these things, it's just like physical health. If you ignore it, it just gets worse. And the same thing is true with the spiritual realm. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound, and again, that's the word hygiene, in the faith. We don't live in Crete. We live in America. How would you characterize the American people? What do you see as the flaws in the American culture? Because evil companionship corrupts good morals. Now, these people were liars. Are American people liars? I'm not going to indict them. I'm just going to give you the opportunity to think to yourself. Are the American people liars? Are they evil beasts? Are they lazy gluttons? Are they proud and arrogant? Are they rejecting God? They don't want God in their knowledge. In other words, we need to take a good hard look. Because if we don't know what the problems are in America, we may be very sick. And shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. I have been watching with increasing alarm how the religious world looks at the scriptures. And the religious world has no respect for the scriptures. They are very comfortable setting aside anything in the scriptures because it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And just accept Christ as your personal Savior and join the church of your choice. And brethren, that's impacting those of us in the church. Because we have to deal with those people. We have to explain to those people. And we have to take a strong stand. Because if we don't, like the Cretans, who needed to be rebuked sharply, you and I may need that sharp rebuke. You and I may be, as a people, very sickly in the eyes of God. I mean, as we look at the churches of Christ in America today, and we look at the churches of Christ in the first century, and we consider the healthy, strong churches, and then the weak and sickly churches, they're all made up of individuals. It's the individuals in the congregation that determine the overall health of the congregation. Now, Israel's situation, this is the city that must be punished. There is nothing but oppression within her. As a well keeps its water fresh, so she keeps fresh her evil. Violence and destruction are heard within her. Sickness and wounds are ever before me. Be warned, O Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust, lest I make you a desolation, an uninhabited land. Does that sound similar to Jesus telling the church in Laodicea, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. Our nation is creeping ever closer to this same sickness. And it trickles down. In another book, he says, why should you be stricken again? This is Isaiah chapter 1. You will revolt more and more. Why should I keep trying to turn you when all it does is result in more revolting? The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. This is how God saw the nation of Israel. Not the beautiful virgin that he espoused himself to at Mount Sinai, but this woman who the whole head is sick, the sole of the foot to the head, there's no soundness, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. Well, here's the sign of that illness. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. And that's when he gives the verse we just read about putrefying sores. Now, I'm sure if Israel gave its own self-assessment, they would say, yeah, we're a little bit involved in idolatry, but overall, we're still faithful to God. But God didn't see it that way. Sadly, there are many people today who call themselves Christians, but they don't obey the Lord. They don't do what the Lord says. They, just like Isaiah says in chapter 26, their fear of me is a commandment of men. And this sickness was fatal because he tells them in verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. God saw Israel as no longer redeemable. And all he did was pick out the very best. And of course, he'll take them to Babylon. But Ezekiel deals with them in Babylon. And we can see from Ezekiel's preaching that they were still not sound. They were still not healthy. And the only reason God let them continue on is because he promised to bring the Christ. If the Lord of hosts had not left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. And then God gives the cure. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, as we look at Israel, we compare, and of course we can't compare the country, we compare the church, and we compare ourselves, and we look at these things, and we ask ourselves, what do I do with my sins? Do you repent of your sin within the first hour after you commit that sin? Or maybe within the first minute? As soon as you become aware of it, it's Father, forgive me. And it isn't just words. It is from the heart with an agony and a disappointment, like Paul said, godly sorrow. That's a healthy response for the Christian. As John said in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So first the godly sorrow and the repentance and then the confession. If we are doing that day after day after day, we're very healthy. But if you save your sins up till tonight or tomorrow morning or maybe next week or maybe Sunday morning, Father, I know I committed some sins this week. Please forgive me. That is not healthy. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How? Through the repentance. Paul told the Corinthian church, a little leaven leavens a whole lump, and you have a fornicator in your midst. And they had to deal with that, and they did. And no one's immune to this. It's not enough for God to test. He knows your health right now, but that's not going to help you. We need to know. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or sick. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. And how do we figure that out? With the scriptures he's given to us. We will read the scriptures. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between the soul and the spirit and to reveal the thoughts and intents of the heart. To who? To me. I need to understand. There have been times where I will sit down to start reading, and before I'm finished, I will see something about myself I never saw before. The thoughts and intents are now clear. And sometimes I'm real happy, and sometimes I have to repent. And we all need to be doing that. We have to make self-assessments. We can't make corrections with our deceitful heart unless we look at how God tests. Because if we don't know, we could be spiritually dead. I mean, listen to Jesus. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not do mighty works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. They were spiritually dead the whole time. Now, how does that happen? It happens because the heart is deceitful above all things. I want to do what I want to do. And my will isn't always in line with God's. And sometimes I'm willing to twist the scriptures to get my way, to ignore certain parts of the scriptures in order to keep living the way I want to live and yet at least outwardly appear like I'm a godly Christian. It's easy to be a Christian an hour a week or 2 hours a week while we're here. It's easy to be a Christian during our morning worship assembly. It's easy to be a Christian during our evening assembly. But what do we do after? Is this from the heart? Is this sincere? Or are we really spiritually dead? Now, we're on our way to a judgment day. God wants us to live. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But He's made it very clear that it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of self-examination, a lot of modifications on our part to make that happen. Because He's not just talking about other people when He says the heart is deceitful above all things. He's talking about my heart and your heart. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Does that offend you? But it's the truth. God has revealed the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, not mine. He's talking about somebody else. Well, there's the deceitful. He's talking about all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none who is doing well. Not even one. The heart is deceitful. So what does He tell us to do? Test all things. Now, how would you grade yourself on that? Are you testing everything as you go through the day? So, oh, I tested most of that 10 years ago. No, no. How about today? Have you gone through what you do every day, how you think, how you feel, who you deal with, how you respond to things, what your heart is dealing, how you pray, how you take the Lord's Supper? Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, certainly this applies to the new things that come along. But as I said earlier, sometimes it's the things we've been doing for years that are the hardest to see. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Now, these are commands, brethren. Now, are we doing this? Are we testing all things? Are we testing ourselves? Wait a minute. Did I miss a slide there? Oh, yeah. Okay. Here are the healthy people. Hebrews 11 is a healthy, are the healthy people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 are the sickly people. Let us not lust after evil things as they lusted. Let us not murmur. Let us not. He talks about all the different things in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here we see healthy. These all died in faith. Are you going to die in faith? Not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar, assured of them, embraced them. Is that why you're a Christian? You remember Jesus in the parable? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in the field. And he sells all that he has to buy that field. And I've met Christians who sell all they have and then they spend the rest of their life buying them back one at a time. I want this, I want this, I want this. And suddenly, they haven't sold anything. They're the same wicked, ungodly person they always were, but now somehow they've deceived themselves into thinking. And the simplest way to see that is, where are your treasures? Where are your priorities? Where is your mind? Are we looking toward heaven? Verse 15, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You see the sickness there? You see the health of those who embrace the promises and the sickness of those and we're looking for a way to come back. Verse 16, they desire a better, that is a heavenly country, and God is not ashamed to be called their God. Paul told the Jews, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of your conduct. You think God was not ashamed to be called their God? This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There is a sickness. Verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Now you say to yourself, well, I'm already a Christian, so how could that verse apply to me? Well, it would apply to you and to me in the specific area where I don't want to know. I don't want to delve into that. I like the way things are. I like what I'm doing. I don't really want to think about whether the scriptures would approve or condemn this activity. Well, we can't do that. We have to love the light and not the darkness. As Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of life. Or excuse me, full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, once again, this is a self-examination. No one can do this for me, and no one can do it for you, because no one knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. You know who you are, and you know how to portray yourself so that I'll never know who you are. So it's up to you and it's up to me to take these scriptures and make our own self-examination. Is my eye healthy? Is my body full of light? Is it bad? Is my body full of darkness? I can't tell you that. This is the depths of preaching where the preacher can't go. I can put the words out. I can read the scriptures. I can make the applications. But if your eye is evil, you won't see it. And if you hate the light, if you love the darkness rather than the light, you're just going to brush it off. Oh, Alan, he's always pushing these things. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to believe that. Well, if Alan's pushing something that's not in the scriptures, then I would agree with you. But if it's the scriptures you don't like, your eye is not healthy. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered. Those are healthy attitudes. The light has come into the darkness, and we love the light. The lamp of the body is your eye. And I have a healthy eye, and my body is full of light. Now, I hope we can all say amen to that. I hope that as this lesson's going on, we're all saying, check, 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 yeah, I'm a healthy Christian. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Whole churches are being swallowed up with worldliness. Whole churches are being swallowed up with false teaching. Could it happen here? Not if we're healthy. Not if we're taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Not if we're holding fast to sound doctrine. Not if we don't have itching ears. Not if the whole body is full of light. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. I think I just read that verse, so we won't read it again. Let each one test his own work. When's the last time you did that? There's good works we're supposed to be doing. Not here. Good works we're supposed to be doing. Christians should be full of good works. Are you testing? Then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. You can see our marching orders. We're supposed to be proving all things. We're supposed to be assessing the teachings that we hear. We're supposed to be looking at these scriptures and trying to just figure out, is what Alan is saying true? And does this have any application in my life? That's what God sees as a healthy Christian. A healthy Christian is someone who sees the scriptures as a mirror. He doesn't forget the manner of man he was. He takes care of it. If you've got some dirt on your face, you wash it off. And brethren, this is not an option. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. In other words, the apostles' writings passed all the tests. Everything in the scriptures is absolute truth. And if there's anything in the scriptures we don't like, or we won't talk to other people about, or we're a little bit embarrassed about, to that degree, they didn't fail the test. We're failing the test. We need to find out that those apostles and prophets never failed. They gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. And if there's anything in the scriptures that makes us feel uncomfortable, we've got a bad eye. The head is getting sick. We're getting weak. We're getting sickly. These are critical things, brethren, because when we stand before God on the judgment day, every one of us is going to want to pass that test. Because that's what the judgment did is. Excuse me, the judgment day is our final examination. It's the opportunity to stand before God, have Him look at my life, and say, "You were healthy. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We don't want to hear, "You were sick." Now, preachers and scriptures and other individuals, they can help us see ourselves clearly. But brethren, we're the only ones who can make the changes. We're the only ones who can see ourselves clearly. We're the only ones who can say, "I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to change my habits. I'm going to start praying every day. I'm going to be reading the scriptures. I'm going to be making assessments. I'm going to be repenting. And I'm going to pass." But it's so serious, because as he says about the Lord's Supper, if you're not partaking of the Lord's Supper worthy, in a worthy way, you're guilty, you're weak, you're sick, you're asleep. And so, brethren, as we close out on this lesson, I just hope that everyone here has been listening carefully and making applications in their own heart. Because that's what this lesson was designed to do. As I say, I can preach the truth, or I can preach error, and hopefully if I do, you will come and point it out to me. But whether or not you hear the truth, it won't do any good. As Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I say?" As we open the songbook this morning, we have an opportunity to take the words of this lesson and act on it. If you want to come forward to confess a sin, if you want the prayers of the congregation, if today is the day you want to become a Christian and you'd like to be baptized, or if you have seen yourself clearly and you need to make some changes, take advantage of that opportunity, because it may not come again. Take advantage of the opportunity. And if we can help in any way, would you please come while we together stand and sing?